A scripture that we read this morning in Luke 11, and we're going to look at a story where Jesus has been invited to the house of one of the religious leaders of that day, one of the Pharisees. Those of you who have worshipped with us in recent weeks will remember that Jesus has been in discussion with a number of his critics. And last week we were looking at the fact that people were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebul. We also saw that there are people who can be supportive of Jesus, but in fact can have the wrong emphasis. For example, in verse 27, we didn't read this morning, a woman stands up and says, "Blessed is the woman that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus turns around and says, hang on, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And this is a recurring theme throughout the book of Luke, the importance of hearing and believing the word that God has spoken through the Bible. This morning, we are actually going to look at Jesus looking the Pharisees, the religious teachers, clear in the eye and in effect asking the question, are you a saviour or are you a sufferer? And I use the word sufferer there as one who causes suffering. Are you a saviour or are you a sufferer? And we might ask the same question slightly differently about us this morning. Do you have a saviour? Or do you have a religion, a faith that causes you to suffer? Let's look at this passage, just a quick overview. I want to introduce you, first of all, to a hurtful Pharisee or a hypocritical Pharisee, because in verses 37 and 38 we see this Pharisee inviting Jesus to his house, but no sooner has he sat down at the table than the man is criticizing Jesus. Then in verses 39 to 45 we have Jesus replying to that man's criticism, and when people are shocked by that, one of the Pharisees, a lawyer, a man who teaches the law, we're told in verse 45, he stands up and he says, "Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also." And we have got a hurting Pharisee, a man who doesn't like the fact that Jesus has driven home a few home truths. And again, Jesus responds to that comment by the Pharisee. And then in the last few verses, in verses 53 and 54 of our reading, we have what I have described as persistent Pharisees or perverse Pharisees. People who will not give up. They are determined to trip Jesus up and to destroy him. Look at verse 54. "Lying in wait for him, to catch him in something he might say." Now, if you're using the ESV, you will see that that section that I have just summarized has the heading, "Woes to the Pharisees and the Lawyers." Woes to the Pharisees and the Lawyer. Now, in a way, woe is a familiar expression, but I wonder, what does it really mean? Do we understand what we mean when we use this word? Many of us will quote from the authorized version of the scriptures. Some famous verses, "Woe is me, for I am undone," Isaiah says. Amos says, "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion." Words that, in a way, don't hold the same meaning as they once did. Or we might quote them historically, but but we don't use them today. I wonder, how many of you actually use this word as a part of your everyday language? You're facing a situation, you say, oh, woe is me. We don't, do we? But it's here in the Bible. What does it mean? Well, it's an expression of great sorrow or of great distress. And Jesus uses this word 6 times in this passage. And I want us to understand woe in these verses by Jesus saying, how sorry I feel for you and the effect that you are having on yourself and on other people. How sorry I feel for you and the effect that you are having on yourself and other people. Let's look very quickly at these 7 woes. Now, the first one doesn't actually begin with woe, but look in verse 39, because there Jesus, the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? And what Jesus is saying there is that in our religion, in our Christianity, we can emphasize so much the outside, what is seen, what is heard, what is looked at, but we don't look at the inside. Then in verse 42, we have the first use of the word woe. And then, to summarize what Jesus is saying, he's saying, your religion emphasizes a legal keeping of rules rather than a spirit of love. How sorry I feel for you, Jesus is saying, about your understanding of religion. Verse 43, you want a position of prominence rather than humility. I'm sorry for you. Verse 44, you have no real understanding of history and how we have reached this point. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves and people walk over them without knowing it. Graves are a mark of history. People were once there, but are no longer with us. Verse 46, following the comment of the hurting Pharisee. And it's this verse that I want us to concentrate on, so I'll actually read it. And he said, woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. And what Jesus is saying to these religious teachers is, you have no understanding of the pressure that your religious laws put people under. Therefore, you provide no support to help these people and to help them cope with what God genuinely wants them to do. Then, verse 47, you pretend to honor history, but forget that your predecessors were the ones who killed God's servants in their days. And then the final one in verse 52. You claim to bring light and understanding, but in fact have made the simple faith so complex. Although claiming to be in the kingdom, you actually act as a barrier to those entering. Look at verse 52. You have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourself, and you hindered those who were entering. Now, we could, in fact, develop a whole series from these verses. But this morning, I just want to take one of them. As I said to you, verse 46, and I want to show you there how religion actually crushes people, but in fact, Christianity liberates and helps people. Jesus, in effect, is saying here in verse 46, well, let's remind ourselves again what he says. Woe to you lawyers, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. To put it in everyday language, you lawmakers have produced so many nitpicking rules that people feel crushed by responsibility and legislation, and you don't even lift a finger to help them. Now, in many ways, many of us feel like this today, don't we? There is this law, there is this requirement, there is this traffic rule, there is this child protection rule. And we go through life thinking, what am I doing? You know, am I keeping the rules? Am I breaking the rules? Am I getting myself into trouble? I wonder how many of you have been driving along and you felt that you've been doing the right speed, and then suddenly, whoosh, there's that big flash. And what happens? The next fortnight, you're thinking, will that brown envelope drop through my door? Have I broken the rule? Look at the smiles that are going across faces this morning. I wonder if I was to ask, put your hands up if you've been on a driver instruction course. We all know what it is, don't we? That pressure. Now, Jesus is not simply talking about traffic infringements. He is talking about the eternal consequences of our relationship with God. So, taking this verse, I want to take it not as an explanation of the Pharisees, but I want to turn it around and to show you what Jesus is in fact saying about himself and what he has done. Jesus begins in verse 46, "Woe to you lawyers also." The point that I want to make here is that the law cannot save us. Laws, rules, religion cannot save us. Jesus is the guest in this man's house. And he has gone in. He has been talking with this group of people, the Pharisees. The whole of the chapter has been a discussion with them in many ways. But now, having listened to them, having listened to their attacks, he turns it around and he faces them. And he says, look, you lawyers, you religious people, you have studied the Old Testament, you have studied this scholar, you have studied that scribe, you have studied this expert, and you think that you have got it all sorted. But you are in fact adding to the burden of people's lives. People want to be in the position where they know peace with God. So they come to you and they say, am I allowed to do this? And you say, no. Now, when we keep laws, does it draw us any closer to God? Does it give us any greater peace? Well, I want to say to you this morning, friends, that Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Romans, says this, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Do you hear that? For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Jesus has talked about the criticism of eating without washing his hands. And he's turned it around and he said, you emphasize washing the outside of the cup. So when people see it, they see this bright, clean cup, but they don't see the stains that are on the inside, those stains that have been allowed to build up. And Jesus is saying, the keeping of the law, the keeping of rules, the outward appearance will save nobody. And I want you to understand that this morning. If you are here thinking, well, I go to church faithfully on a Sunday morning, I give money, I am prepared to help with this charity, I help my neighbor, Friends, none of those things will save you. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in the sight of God. But Paul goes on and he talks about the law. And he talks about the law with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this in Romans 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What's he saying? He's saying the law is important. The law is God's standard. But we can't reach it. But God has reached it for us. God has reached it for us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the end of the law. Friends, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all failed to reach God's standard. We have all turned away and have not loved God or our neighbors. But Christ has. And he has done it on behalf of all of his people so that none of us need fall short. We are told, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus spent the whole of his life and ministry showing people their true state, but always saying to them, I'm here to help. The law says to you, the law says to me, you failed. You've not reached the standard. But Christ says, but I'm here to help. I am here to take you from that position of failure to that position of accomplishment, to take you from that position where you know that you are condemned to the position where you know that you are saved. But friends, you will not do that by keeping the law. And that's what Jesus is saying to this man. You lawyers, you burden people down. So the law cannot save us. But the second thing that I want to say to you this morning from this verse, in verse 46, you lawyers, also you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burden with one of your fingers. You cannot save yourself. The law cannot save you. You cannot save yourself. You've got this picture where these lawyers, these Pharisees, have built up all these rules. And he says, you load people. And he is using the picture, literally, of being weighed down. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. Maybe you've bought something from the shop and you haven't actually got the car. You've got to walk home or you've got to get a bus. And you thought, oh yeah, I'll manage this. And as you walk out of the shop door, you think, yeah, I'm coping. But before you get to the bus stop, that bag, which seemed so easy to cope with a few minutes ago, is now pulling you down. And you are feeling crushed under it. Or maybe you've started out on a job. And your lady's cleaning the house. And you've moved all of the furniture. You've got the hoovering done. And you think, oh, it's looking good. And then you try to put the furniture back. But it's a burden. It's too heavy to carry. And you get to the point and you think, I cannot finish what I have started, and you feel so